We gather here this morning on the fourth Sunday of Advent to celebrate the love that Christ has brought to us. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to worship this day. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to gather in the Lord's house this day on this fourth Sunday of Advent. It is warm in here, it's cold outside, and you will be blessed by the opportunity to listen to some wonderful music this morning. Thank you for joining us this morning on this day. This is the final Sunday in Advent. Advent is a season of waiting, and we've been waiting to celebrate the birth of the Christ child, and next Sunday we will do just that. For those that are gathered with us in our sanctuary, thank you for joining us this morning. I encourage you to use that bulletin this morning as we sing praise to God and understand what's coming up in the life of our church. For those that are joining us this morning via Facebook Live, thank you for joining us this morning. We're glad that you have decided to be with us with your friends and family. You can go to our website at www.fbc-elon.org and pull up the worship bulletin for today and use that as the resource, not just for today, but in the coming days. I know right now we have many who are under the weather in our church family, so we pray for their health and their safety. I pray for your health, and I'm hopeful that as we arrive at Christmas next weekend, that everybody will be healthy and you'll have a chance to spend those days with your family and friends. If you are a guest with us this morning, thank you for joining us. If you wouldn't mind, fill out a visitor's card that's in the pew right in front of you and just drop it off in the offering plate as you leave this morning, and that'll just let us know who was with us this morning in worship. Tonight, our adult Bible study will conclude at 5 p.m. in the fellowship hall. Join me with that time as we continue to look at the angels of Christmas, where angels appear to individuals. Tonight, we'll discuss how the angels appear to the shepherds. That study will take place at 5 p.m. Youth also will be meeting at 5 p.m. as well upstairs in the youth room. Looking ahead, our virtual Bible study, Not a Silent Night, will conclude this coming Thursday at its normal time, 6:30 p.m. on Facebook Live. If you haven't had a chance to join me for that study, if that time slot doesn't work for you, I completely understand. But I want to encourage you, if you have access to Facebook, to go to our church's Facebook page and get a chance, use this time of the season of Advent and the season of Christmas to kind of follow along in that study of how it was not a silent night when Jesus came into the world. And it's been a challenging study. That's why I encourage you to listen to us, join us on Thursday if it's your first time, or go back and look at those previous sessions. Ministry teams. I just want to remind you that we are in the process of putting together the January newsletter. Our January newsletter is usually really slim. We only send out a calendar with just a couple other things. So if you have items that need to be placed on the January calendar, please let Janice know today or tomorrow. Send her an email today or call the church office tomorrow, because we want to make sure we finalize that in time for everybody to pick that up next week. Christmas cards are afoot. They are overwhelming in the fellowship hall. If you have not had a chance to stop by the fellowship hall to pick up Christmas cards out of your box, I can guarantee you've got at least 10 or 12 that are up there. So I want to encourage you today, as you leave this morning from worship, walk upstairs, go by the fellowship hall, or drive upstairs to the upper parking lot and see how many Christmas cards that you might have. Also, as you leave this morning, you'll notice that the 2023 contribution envelopes for tithing are out there. You can pick one of those boxes up. They have names on them. If you do not have a box that has your name on it, let me know, and I'll let Janice know, and she'll have one for you next Sunday. Next weekend, we look forward to gathering as a church family as we celebrate the birth of the Christ child on Christmas Eve and on Christmas Day. I want to remind you that next Saturday, which is Christmas Eve, we will be having our candlelight and communion service here in the sanctuary at 5 p.m. This is one of my favorite services of all the year, because we gather as a church family as we sing praise to God, celebrating that Christ has arrived, and also we gather around the table, reminded that when he came into the world, he came to change the world, and it was the sacrifice that he made that changes our lives. We'll gather at the table with family and friends to celebrate communion as a part of that service, and as always, end it with a candlelight singing. So I encourage you to join us on Saturday of next week, Christmas Eve, for that service. Then the next day, on Sunday, Christmas morning, we will have one worship service, and I want to go ahead and let you know, it's not at 11 o'clock. Come at 10 a.m. For that worship time. We will not have Sunday school that morning. We'll just have our 10 o'clock worship service. Join us with your friends and family. Come as you are. You don't have to dress up. Just come ready to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It will be a special weekend next weekend. Both services will be streamed on Facebook Live as well. So if you can't be here in person, maybe tune in with your family and friends at home. At this time, let me call on our Vice Chair of Deacons, Brian Carroll, to come forward for an announcement.
You needed one more announcement, right? And I would like to thank everyone that's here and congratulate you on surviving the medical carnage that is evidently working its way through our congregation right now. I'm not Susan Reinheimer. That was a joke. Y'all can laugh. And I'm sorry that she's got sickness running through her family, but I am grateful for the opportunity to, in her stead, say thank you to our staff, who does a tremendous job. We put out the call. People responded wonderfully. So it is my pleasure to thank David, to thank Gay, to thank Bert, and to thank Mark for so ably guiding us every Sunday during a time that's been difficult to navigate. I don't think you can appreciate the job that they do until you realize a week when they're not here and somebody else has to do it. So I thank all of you for what you do and the spirit with which you do it. Thank you very much, and thank all of you.
speaking on behalf of Gay and Bert and Mark and Janice, our secretary, thank you. It is a privilege to minister to y'all during the year, and we enjoy it. We love it, and we look forward to hopefully a healthier and happier new year coming up in 2023.
Janice has one too. I completely forgot to say that.
I'll be delivering that to her tomorrow. But again, it is a privilege and it's an honor. And we look forward to serving you in 2023. Now we gather to worship love incarnate, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Let us worship Him this morning. This morning, our opening scripture reading comes from Isaiah chapter 11, reading verses 1 through 10. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and the young child put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain. For the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his place of rest will be glorious. Hundreds of years before Christ came, the prophet Isaiah called forth that a child would come and would lead and would change the dynamic of the world. That's what we celebrate at Christmas time. That's what we've been waiting for these last couple weeks. And he still does that today. Let us go to the Lord in prayer and how we are being challenged to change the world. Let's pray. God of love, we come to you in the midst of a world fraught with troubles. Although the darkness is powerful, open our eyes, Lord, to the light of your presence. Give us faith to stand against the voices of division and violence. Through your Spirit, remake us into a love-filled disciple, discovering lives attuned to your wonder and sparking in others a desire to know you more. In the name of the one who comes to us, we pray. Amen.
Some people may not know the love of other people. That makes it harder for them to understand God's love. During Advent, we pray that we may remember again God's gift of Jesus to the world and know that God's love for all people is the reason for this gift.
Now we'll sing Angels We've Heard on High. And hopefully I won't forget the Advent part afterwards this week. So let's stand and let's sing.
We read the words of Scripture. We know of God's greatness and care. We remember when we remember that God sent Jesus to us to help us know that God is loving and just.
Isaiah 40:1-8. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her heart service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass, the grass withers, and the flowers fall. But the word of our God endures forever.
Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for your son, Jesus. Thank you for the words found in our Bible that help us remember your love and care. Help us see how we can bring God's message to the people that we meet in our schools, at our jobs, and in our neighborhoods. Help us be messengers of God's love for everyone. Amen.
Thank you, the Carroll family. I want to take a moment to introduce our guest here today. Most of you know Catherine, has been here many times, is on my far right. And then, of course, I'm sitting in the second chair. Y'all know me. We have a new person with us today, and this is Nimue Williamson. And she is a freshman, is that right, at Williams High School, and is one of Catherine's students. And then Elena's been here numerous times, too, Elena Murphy. And I just want to say how much I appreciate them coming to share their gift of music with us today. And some of you might not know some of the instruments. Y'all know the clarinet. Nimue's playing the alto clarinet. And then I'm playing the big boy over there, the bass clarinet. And so thank y'all for allowing them to be here. Our first, second hymn this morning is Joy to the World. Let's stand and sing all four stanzas.
Yes.
be seated.
This morning, our missions focus is the global missions offering for CBF. This offering that we take today, and that I encourage you, if you do not bring an envelope for the CBF Global Missions offering, that you'll prayerfully consider bringing by the church office this week. We seek to support the missionaries that the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship sends to all corners of the earth. So many that do so much with the little means that we provide for them. My prayer is that what we provide this year will help partner with so many other churches to lift and spread the message of Christ on every continent. We have CBF missionaries on every continent at this time. Our goal this year to raise for the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship offering is $1,500. So prayerfully consider supporting CBF this year. And as a little incentive, I thought we would show you a video from a couple of the CBF missionaries, and who knows, you may actually know them.
And this is our youngest, Judah, and we are CBF field personnel serving in Japan, and we are here inside Kamazawa Baptist Church, our partner congregation alongside the Japan Baptist Convention, where we have just returned after 5 years of language study and serving alongside a Japan Baptist Convention congregation in Tokyo.
In our work with Kanazawa Baptist Church, we particularly focus both in English and Japanese on helping to meet the needs of internationals. We are so very grateful for your support, both financially and prayerfully, of the offering for global missions.
So this week, when we decided to share a video for the CBF Global Missions offering, I thought, well, let's see who might happen to be promoting it this year. And then when I scrolled through the videos, I came on this one of Carson and Laura Fushi, our friend.
My name is Chris Hall. I work for Free Will. And you partner.
Sorry about that. Carson and Laura Fushi, who we partner with, we send money directly to because they are a part of our church family. Carson came through Elon University, became an active part of our congregation while he was here. They went off to the Divinity School, he and Laura, and then they decided to continue to spread the message of Christ around the world, and they've been in Japan for the last 5 years. Now, you saw Judah there in their lap, and I thought it was adorable watching Judah turn to his mama when Carson started talking. There was no turning. It was just focusing on who was supposed to be most important. But their daughter, Ada, was not in that video because she was at school while they were filming that video for CBF. I had a chance to communicate back and forth with Carson over the last 3 or 4 days. They are doing well. They are thriving. They have returned to their host destination where they're going to continue their ministry. They thank you for the prayers that you've sent them, for the gifts that we have sent them. And they thank you for providing an opportunity to support the Global Missions Offering. The Global Missions Offering will support Carson and Laura, but it'll also support missionaries around the world. Carson also was sharing with me that they will be back stateside coming this summer. They'll be coming home late May and be home June, July, and August. And we have already started discussing a Sunday where they will be with us in person to share about their ministry and how we continue to support them. So again, if I didn't give you incentive enough earlier, let that be an incentive that we support individuals that we know by name, that have preached where I stand today, and that we've helped in their ministry and growing in their faith. Now at this time, I'll call on Brian Carroll, if he hasn't done enough already, for our offertory prayer.
As it turns out, I'm not April Riley either. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you and we are humbled that so often we forget how good we have it. on our worst day, in our worst financial condition, we are still so much better off than we deserve or that so many other people around this world are. Not every one of us is cut out to go into foreign missions, and yet we want to see your word spread throughout the world. So we pray that what we give in a global missions offering would be multiplied mightily by your hand, that you would take what we can give and use it in a magnificent way to reach the hearts and the lives and the future of people around the world. We pray that we would also be mindful of those within our own community who we need to reach out to, that we are not called to sit stagnant. We are called to go. We thank you for what you've blessed us with, and we endeavor to put it to good work. We love you. Amen.
Thank you.
Again, let me say thank you, Catherine and Elena and Emma and Gabe, for leading us this morning with a quartet of clarinets. I don't think we've ever had a quartet of clarinets here. That's a first, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Again, let me say thank you for joining us for worship this morning. We are just 1 week away from Christmas Day. If you did not know it, that's another reminder. 1 week away from the celebration of the birth of the Christ child. 1 week away from transitioning from Advent, which is the season of waiting, to Christmas, which is the celebration of God intervening in the world. We're also 1 week away from the descending of family and friends upon our homes, throwing our schedules and our normal lives into chaos. Let's face it, Christmas can be quite stressful. Amen? It can be. Planning get-togethers, buying the right gifts, preparing elaborate meals, instead of bringing joy, this time of year can bring frustration. However, and I'm going to challenge you on that this morning, this only happens if we allow it to be the focus rather than being who should be the focus. A woman was walking in the mall doing her last bit of Christmas shopping. She was tired of walking through every single aisle of every store to find just the right present for just the right person in her family. She was stressed out by the mounting debt on her credit card. She was tired of fighting crowds and standing in line for the registers. Her hands were literally full as she approached the elevator. And then the door opened, and it was full as well. And she muttered under her breath, "Great." And the occupants of that elevator, they kind of scooted each way, giving her just enough space to climb in with the rest of them. As the door closed, she blurted out, not even really realizing it, "I think whoever came up with this Christmas junk ought to be found, strung up, and shot." A few others shook their heads and grunted in agreement. Then, from somewhere in the back of the elevator, came a single small voice that said, "Don't worry, they already crucified." Christmas is not about us. Although we have made it about us, it is about how God so loved the world that he sent his only son in the form of a baby to transform the world. Christmas is about finding joy in Christ. So many people are searching for happiness, but not really finding it. We have access to so much in the way of possessions, entertainment, and education, but we're still not finding happiness. The Bible actually does not say much about happiness. You can flip through its pages, but it doesn't say much about happiness, but it does say a lot about joy. Because joy and happiness are different. Joy has a deeper meaning than happiness. Happiness has to do with what happens to us, and it fluctuates according to the circumstances that are around us. However, genuine, true joy, joy rooted in Christ, overrides any circumstance. Joy is an inner sense of well-being that abides even when the circumstances around us are chaotic. We still have that inner joy. So let's talk about that this morning. This morning I'm continuing and concluding my sermon series, Christmas Carol Theology. However, I also will be talking about Christmas carols on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. But almost 300 years ago, Isaac Watts wrote the hymn titled Joy to the World. We've sung it. We just sang it here. Did you know Joy to the World is the most sung Christmas carol in all the world? Did you know that Joy to the World only has one line in it that speaks about Christ coming in the form of a baby? One line. When it was originally written, it was not intended to be a Christmas carol. But somehow it made its way into this season, and this season has wrapped its arms around it because it speaks about the joy Christ can bring. When Watts was writing this hymn, he was inspired by the psalm that you see in front of me, Psalm 98, verses 1 through 9. So let's read the words of this psalm that Isaac Watts read 300 years ago and see what he was inspired of as we talk about joy to the world. Psalm 98, verses 1 through 9. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. And here it is. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp. With the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn, shout for joy to the Lord before the Lord the King. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity. Joy, joy, and more joy. That's what this season is all about. The first stanza of Joy to the World teaches that there is true joy when the King is received. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. And I know y'all are saying a prayer, thankful that I didn't sing that because my voice is not good. But that's what the first stanza says. If we remember the birth story of Jesus, not everybody was joyful when Jesus was born. The reigning king over that area, King Herod, he was not a happy man. He learned first about the birth of Jesus from the Magi, a group of foreign astronomers who came to his palace searching for this new world ruler. Herod was troubled. He was paranoid, so much so that he had already murdered three of his own sons, his mother, and other members in his family. He was not going to tolerate a rival king, even if he was an infant. There are still many who reject Jesus as king today because they see him as a threat to their selfish desires or individual freedoms or insatiable greed or intellectual pride, you name it. In contrast, the Magi or the wise men received Jesus as a king. These wise men were advisors who came far from the east. They had seen an astronomical disturbance in the sky that challenged them to travel hundreds of miles to meet this new king. Did they know Jesus' name? No, they didn't know it. Did they know exactly where they were traveling? No, they didn't know how far they would have to go. Did they pay respect when they arrived at their destination? And that answer is yes. First with Herod, the current king of the area, then with the new king, Jesus. The Magi encountered the new king, the one that would provide true joy to anyone who would receive him. These Gentile wise men, as they're often called, believed and they worshiped him. If you receive Christ as the king of your life, he brings a spiritual joy that you cannot find any place else. Just as your body craves food and exercise or it will become weak, so your inner spirit craves a relationship with God. And that is where joy comes from. If not nurtured, it will cause your soul to be famished and restless. It has been said there is a God-shaped hole in each of our lives. What are you filling it with? There's a Christmas card that floated around some years back, and I don't remember what year, so a few years ago. It said, If our greatest need had been information, God would have sent an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness. So he sent us a Savior. The second stanza of Joy to the World teaches that there is joy when the Savior reigns. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ. While fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy. There is a clear difference between receiving Christ and allowing Christ to reign. Jesus encountered several people on his way who wanted to receive him, but did not exactly want him to reign over them. There are still people today who want to receive all the good things that Christ offers, but they really do not want to let him reign over their lives or business ethics or the language they use or the way they treat other people. A recent poll by the Barna Research Group found that only 37% of adults thought the birth of Jesus is the most important aspect of Christmas. 37%. 44% of the respondents said family time is the most important part of the Christmas celebration. 3% said presents were the most important. The same percentage, 3%, said the best thing about Christmas was getting a paid holiday day off of work. People who receive Christ but do not let him rule are usually not very joyful. We know those individuals in our lives. Their duplicity wears them out, and it causes them to lose self-respect. Indecisiveness and hypocrisy sap the joy out of life. And then there comes a time when you realize you're not fooling anyone. You're not fooling anybody, because when Jesus reigns over your life, it brings and exudes joy. Someone once said, joy is the byproduct of obedience. Moving to the third stanza of Joy to the World, it teaches that there is joy when the sinner repents. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, for as the curse is found. Sin promises happiness, but ultimately delivers sorrow. Satan promised Adam and Eve that if they ate from the tree, it would be good and it would make them wise. In the end, the fruit brought a horrible curse and an unending sorrow. Sin still brings a bitter curse and a painful sorrow today if we let it. But there is a wonderful experience of joy when the sinner repents. Came across this story some time back, and I kind of earmarked it for Advent. Wild West author Bret Hart wrote a short story that was entitled The Luck of Roaring Camp in 1868. The story goes that Roaring Camp was supposed to be the meanest, toughest mining town in all of the West. It was reported that there were more murders and thefts there than any other place around. It was a terrible place, inhabited entirely by men, except for one woman who made her living in the local saloon, and her name was Cherokee Sal. Cherokee Sal became pregnant, and the father was unknown. While in labor, unfortunately, Cherokee Sal died, leaving the baby behind. The men of the town took the baby and put her in a box with some old rags underneath her. Somehow that just didn't seem right, so one of the men rode 80 miles to buy a rosewood cradle. He brought it back, and they put the rags and the baby in the beautiful new rosewood cradle. But the rags did not look right in this beautiful new cradle. So they had another man ride to Sacramento, where he bought some beautiful silk and lace blankets. Now they put the baby in the cradle lined with silk and put the new blanket over her. It looked just fine until someone happened to notice that the floor in which the cradle sat was filthy. So these hardened, tough men got down on their hands and their knees and with their calloused hands scrubbed the floor until it was spotless. Of course, now that the floor was spotless, the walls and the ceiling and the dirty windows without curtains looked absolutely terrible. So they washed down the walls and the ceiling and they put curtains on the window. Things were beginning to look a little bit better, but of course, they had to give up a little bit of their fighting and their brawling because the baby has to sleep. And you make too much noise, you wake the baby up. So the whole temperature of Roaring Camp seemed to go down. They would take the baby out and set her by the entrance to the mine in her rosewood cradle, with one of the men staying next to her the entire time so the others could see her when they came out of the mine. But then someone noticed that this was a really dirty place, a mine entrance. So they planted flowers and they made a garden there at the entrance. And it really looked quite beautiful. But when they put their hands down next to hers, their hands looked so dirty, so grimy. Pretty soon the general store was sold out of soap and shaving gear as these men cleaned up. The baby was changing absolutely everything. My question for you this Advent is this: has the Bethlehem baby changed everything in your life this season? Now you might be thinking, is David about to end his sermon? But we still have the fourth verse. The last stanza in Joy to the World teaches that there is joy when the truth rules with grace. He rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love. There is little joy if there is no balance between grace and truth. Jesus Christ, when he came to this earth, showed us how to balance those two things. That is what we're called to do. In closing, a preacher's family was starting to put up their Christmas decorations, and they started putting up the nativity scene in the front yard that they did every year. All of them were carrying out the little statues to put in this scene. Everybody had the one designated to them. Finally, everything was in place. Mary, Joseph, the angels, the shepherds, the barnyard animals, and of course, the manger and baby Jesus. But then little Scott came out, carrying out one of his favorite toys, this figure of the fierce Tyrannosaurus Rex, king of the dinosaurs. It was one of his favorite toys, and it was one of those inflatable type toys, as you might say. So in comparison to all the other figures, it was an enormous thing towering over this scene of the nativity. His dad tried to tell him, Scott, you got to take that back into your room. It doesn't belong in this picture. Dinosaurs existed thousands of years before the baby Jesus, and it just does not belong in a nativity scene. But little Scott insisted, so they finally put it there behind all the other figures, a fierce dinosaur hovering over the manger and everything else. Then the dad said, as we stood back and looked at it, we realized that maybe the dinosaur says more than we really realize. For over each of us, there is this menacing character that threatens to rob us all of our joy and our peace and our cheer. Christmas reminds us that the baby in the manger is stronger than all the dinosaurs in your life or in mine. God has given us the victory through his son. True joy comes to those who receive Christ, repent of their sins, and allows him to reign in their lives. When Christ rules with grace and truth, there is an inner joy that overrides any circumstances. And guess what? It will deflate the dinosaurs in your life today, whatever they might be. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let us worship Him this day. Let's pray. Father, it is a day to celebrate the love that You imparted to the world as You sent Your Son, Jesus Christ, to live and walk this earth, to show us what it means to understand what true love and joy is. Father, I hope during this season that our words and our actions and the encounters that we have and the experiences that we have, and it exudes that joy that You have placed in our lives, because that's what we're called to do. Father, if we're struggling to find that joy this morning, maybe it was the songs being played by our clarinet quartet. Maybe it was the singing of some of our popular Christmas carols like Joy to the World, or maybe it was through the reading of Scripture and the lighting of our Advent wreath, or maybe it was some of the words I just shared over the last couple minutes. But hopefully, we carry a little bit of joy as we leave today. And hopefully we arrive back here next week as we celebrate true love incarnate, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As we come to this time of closing, if you are struggling with finding joy, I encourage you to spend some time in prayer as we sing our closing hymn. Come to the altar. I know it's got lots of things up here, but the altar is God's. It's not mine. And if you want me to pray with you, I definitely will. If you're looking for a church family that is seeking to honor God through sharing joy in the world, maybe First Baptist is that place for you, and I'll be willing to talk to you about what that means. Or maybe today, for the first time, you realize that Jesus Christ brought joy into the world and is shared with everyone. That's the most important relationship we can have. If you are called, if you feel that this morning, come down. Let me talk with you. Let's talk about what the next step is. Let's stand and sing our closing hymn, and let's sing it with a little bit of joy. Sharing that joy with anyone that you encounter this Advent season. And I encourage to see you, and I hope we'll see you this coming weekend on Saturday and Sunday for our Christmas Eve service and our Christmas Day service. Go in joy and peace.